The Sand Geeks. We are the Sand Geeks.
Hello, geeks. Welcome to episode 80 of the Sand Geeks podcast. Some say we wouldn't get this far, but we have, so screw you. This is episode 80. My name is Steve. I've got a small little YouTube channel that's just hit 4,000 subscribers, and it is called Frags to Riches. But I am not alone. I am joined by my co-host, Chris, who has the channel Fragmental, who has topped over 50,000 subscribers. But before I let him speak, I do just want to shout out our lovely, lovely sponsor. That is Kajal Perfumes, and you can go and check those guys out at kajalperfumes.com, which is not too much of a challenging website address if you know the company. And if you use the code GEEKS10, you'll get 10% discount on any purchase. And yeah, they ship pretty much everywhere, and I believe they hold stock in the UK, so go and check those guys out. Anyway, Chris, you can now speak. How are you doing?
I am very well. Hello, Steve. Hello, geeks. You mentioned my subscriber count, but we need to mention your subscriber count, Steve, don't we? Because last time we recorded, you forgot, and I didn't realise that you've actually ticked over 4K. You are 4K definition now.
Yes, it was literally that day. It was quite funny. I know I was close, and then it was literally like an hour before we started recording, it ticked over, and I actually got like an email from one of the YouTube tracker things, and it said, "Oh, you've hit 4,000." I was like, "Oh yeah," and I was going to mention it, and then I totally forgot about it. But 4,000. So I'm now 4,010, I think. So there you go. That's the growth of it this week. So
congratulations. I mean, to 4K. Your channel isn't your job, and you're not making it to be your job. It's just something that you do for fun, for enjoyment. So to be able to get to 4K, I think, is a fantastic achievement. And this is what I love about YouTube, is you can be a little bit inconsistent with your posting, and you can upload a bit less content if it's not your job. And I think, you know, you'll agree that last couple of months, maybe, you've not been posting as many videos, but it's great that you can still see growth. I mean, yes, the growth might slow down, but it's great that it doesn't go backwards, you know? YouTube doesn't go backwards. Once you've got those subscribers, something really drastic, I think, has to happen to lose the subscribers. So, I love YouTube for that. Anyway, well done.
Yeah, thank you. I think I used to upload one and then twice a week regularly, but these last few months have just not been happening because of life. But I think because I've got enough of a back catalogue, I think there's still new people finding me just searching some of my older videos. So yeah. I think that's how I'm getting away with it. But anyway.
Getting away with it.
Yes, I'm just blagging my way through life, really. So how are you? Anyway, how's things?
Yeah, I'm great, thanks. Yeah, of course. Things are all kind of chaotic and up in the air because kids are off school, so all routine that I would normally have during term time for the last few weeks has been out of the window. So I sort of just do bits and bats of work in between everything else that's going on, had something great happen this week because Aaron Terence Hughes got our heads together, and he came to York and we filmed some videos. So we did a video about Smolder, but we did another couple of videos, and we did some of the classic Perfumer Rates videos that that got quite big on YouTube a couple of years ago, which obviously we've not been able to do for a long time. So it was brilliant to just talk to Aaron about fragrances again. So that was good fun. And then we've been to Chester Zoo, seen the animals. Okay.
What, you and Aaron?
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like.
Oh, well, you
yeah,
know.
We did some filming, then we're like, let's just go to the zoo. You're looking for some inspiration for some animalic scents.
We thought, well, let's carry it on. You know, we've not seen each other for a while. Got a bit of catching up to do. I went to Chester Zoo with my family, and then we stayed at my mum and dad's for the weekend, which was very, very lovely. And then we came back yesterday, and Sunday, it's Sunday today, but it's been a bit of a working day, really, because the kids were visiting Helen's auntie, so I thought, well, may as well do some editing. So I've just been editing and doing Instagram stuff, and now we're recording a double podcast today.
Yes.
So it's sort of, yeah, not really a weekend day for me. And I think you were telling me before, you've had an equally as busy weekend.
Yeah, it has been really. So yesterday morning, took the boy to karate. That was quite good. I ended up having to spar a few black belts, which was quite good fun. I actually held my own, which I was pleased with.
Did you?
They actually complimented me because I was like, oh, fucking hell, I'm in it here. Because it's one of those things, obviously, if they went in hard or whatever, but then I didn't want to go in too hard and look like the sort of the guy that's trying. But
trying to beat all the kids up.
Yeah, exactly. I did it and one of them was like, oh, he's like, I weren't expecting that. And then another one who's like really good, he was asking me because I studied martial arts when I was a kid. He goes, oh, what did you study before? He's like, oh, you're good. He said, he's like, there's white belts and then there's white belts. He's like, that's, you're decent. I was like, oh, cheers, mate. So yeah, held my own anyway. Didn't get beaten up. But then after that, basically, I've started project number two in the garden. Obviously, I finished my shed and now I've started prepping for my outdoor office, my garden office. So I've got a little office building going up in my garden. So I've started prepping all the groundwork for that. So that's what I'm going to be doing for the next couple of weeks. Well, I've got most of the groundwork. I need to get the foundations down, but yeah, then starting that.
So why the decision to have an office in the back garden? You've got a spare room at your house. I think that's where you're now recording this. Yeah. Why are you deciding not to use that as your office?
It's not needed right now, but we just because we've like humble brags like ivory sort of tower or whatever, we've got a four bed house, so it's kind of, it's all right, we've got a bit of space, but now the kids have both got a room. The wife and I share the spare room because she's got a desk here as well, so we've got kind of, it's a double office and a spare room. So basically it was just kind of like, if I kind of get a little outdoor office, it just frees a bit more space in this room, a bit more space for the wife, or if we have people stay, or if I film in this room as well, so it just free up a bit more space really. So that's kind of and then in the future, when the kids are older, they could probably have this room as like a bit of a snug second lounge type thing, and then we've just got the outdoor office. So yeah, that's the sort of plan. Anyway,
sounds good.
And then today I was solo parenting. The wife was basically doing a sort of proper full day's work with her kind of head teacher and another deputy head teacher, and so I was sort of solo parenting all day. So I went to the zoo as well. I took the kids to the zoo this afternoon, and to be fair, they were really well behaved actually. But it's that sort of mental burden, you know, when you're just solo parenting, is kind of like constantly, especially the boy's fine because he's a bit older now, and it's probably the same with your girls now. Obviously you can sort of blag it a little bit because they're old enough and you don't have to be sort of worry too much about too many things, but with the baby you're constantly thinking about like nap times and you know, has she drunk enough, has she fed enough, or like nappies, or you obviously going out, you've got to take a million and one supplies, and it's like the sort of mental burden. It's just like, and yeah, that's where
especially if it's something that you're not doing all the time, when it's just something that you're doing sort of, you know, randomly out of the blue, it is quite stressful, that experience.
Yeah, it is. As much as it was good, they were well behaved. Like you say, if it was a regular thing that you did, you sort of got everything prepped and you know what you're doing, where when you were sort of, I was just sort of freestyling, I was like, oh, I'm going to get out, because otherwise if we're at home all day, it's going to be a killer. So yeah, we went to the zoo and stuff, and it was like, but just trying to make sure I remembered everything. And then the wife has obviously been on maternity leave with the baby, she's just basically starting back at work, and she was like, do you want me to, she goes, I can give you loads of instructions and shit if you want, but I don't want to patronise you. I was like, nope, patronise me. I was like, if it makes my life easier, and less likely for me to forget something, I was like, fucking write it down, treat me like a fucking idiot, I don't mind. So we did that, but it worked out fine.
Well done, you survived it.
Yes, I did. My mate actually is in a similar boat as me. He's got a couple of kids. He actually sent me a message that she got like a moral support. He's like, good luck today, mate. I hope it goes all right. Like, I hope it goes, you know, it doesn't drag and it goes quickly for you. It was like I was going into war. It was ridiculous. You know, there's people that are literally doing tours of Afghanistan and I'm getting moral support messages from my mate because I'm sort of solo parenting for the day.
Well, I know. It does feel like you're going into a war zone, though. You'll be putting your feet up after we've edited this podcast, and you can just be going parenting. Yeah, completed it.
Yeah, completed it, mate. Completed it. Yeah. Anyway, mate, we better crack on, don't we? Because as you sort of implied earlier, we're going to try and do a double record tonight. So shall we go into the? Shall we look into the arse? Shall we do that?
Yes. Let's look at the arse. What arse have we got?
So with the audience recognition section, if anybody's wondering, so here we shout out anybody that donated to us through our Ko-fi page, and quite often those donations, the donators that ask us questions in there as well. So we shout them out and answer their questions. And there's been a few. So you can do it if you go to ko-fi.com/scentgeeks, all one word. And let me see what we've got. Ness has said, have protein drink on me, boys. 2 for £3 now in Tesco. I love the show. Do more Jezza going mad clips. So... I think we, as much as we do enjoy kind of joshing Jeremy Fragrance, we are conscious that that happens a lot in the community. So we sort of don't want it just to purely be a Jeremy section.
Yeah,
we,
it's sort of there? Easy ammunition, isn't it?
It is, it is. Moses has also bought us a coffee. First coffee for you guys. Expect more in the future. Quick question. What's a good summer frag for a man early 20s, preferably under 100 to 150 pounds? So I don't know if he means within that range or under that. I don't know. Some of the summer scents I've tried seem a bit mature for me. Appreciate the help. Keep up the good work.
Mm. What was his age again, did you say?
He said early 20s.
Summer frag for early 20s. Right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not early 20s, but some of my favourite summer frags, Versace's Mano Fresh is just probably nice.
I really agree. Like that.
Dior Homme Cologne, again, one of my all-time faves. Really enjoy that one. I really like Clinique Happy. I think that's, I wouldn't say it's mature, but it's probably older than early 20s. I don't know, really. Just trying to think of proper... Oh, obviously, you've got... It's a bit obvious, but like Invictus Aqua is obviously very sort of young man summer frag, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd also add to that La Malo Fresh, which is a really nice designer summer fragrance. I think has a nice youthful vibe to it. I'm just trying to think. I mean, Dior Homme O is a very good one, but that's not that easy to get hold of anymore. Invictus Aqua,
YSL Y Live, that's sort of quite semi fresh. And then they've got there's a YO Fresh, I think, as well. I don't think I've smelled that one yet, but I suspect that's going to work quite well as well.
Bleu de Chanel, do you think that is, does that lean just a touch older than early 20s, would you say? It's possibly,
I mean, you could wear it. There's Coach for men, the original one. That's quite fresh and clean. I think that works quite well in the summer. It's the summer frags are a bit of a sort of challenge sometimes, because sometimes they can be quite samey with the sort of citrusy thing, and then also some can be quite poor performing as well. So if you kind of find that summer frag that's fresh summer but sort of original and different and performs, it's almost a bit of a fucking holy grail, isn't it, really, to be honest?
Yes, there aren't too many of them, especially in the designer realm. I would definitely say the light blue line is worth looking at as well. Light blue O Intense. Again, not massive performers, but they're not too bad when you wear them in.
I would say check out the Bulgari Pour Homme line, the Aqua. So you've got Bulgari, the original Aqua Pour Homme. That's really good. And then there's a few in that range as well. Like Aqua L'Antique gets compared to Sauvage, but it's again really good. So that might be a good shout as well to look into that line. Yeah, there we go. I think
suggestions.
It's almost an easy question, but a difficult answer, I feel, that one. It's kind of, we didn't jump in there. We're like, oh, okay, this needs a bit of thought. Right, this one comes from, and he's actually put it, Baza Sensualize. So this is Barry from the YouTube channel Sensualize, and on Instagram as well. We rarely shout out Instagram accounts, but by all means, check them out on there. And Barry's a long time supporter. He's bought us loads of coffee, so thank you, Barry. He's even said, sorry, I haven't been donating of late, but been busy with moving house and decorating. I have now caught up on all the podcasts. Still as good as ever. Oh, thanks for that, mate. Congrats to you both on your YouTube milestones of 50K and 4K, respectively. Thank you. See, when you say it like that, my 4K feels a little bit insignificant, but I'll take it. Love watching your videos as well as this podcast. So thanks for that, Barry. Much appreciated, mate.
Yeah, it's been a bit weird with Barry taking a little break because he's been moving, and Nigel from Two Cents Worth been taking a little break over the summer. So yeah, there's been a couple of UK fragrance heavyweights that have been a little absent over the last few weeks. So it's nice to hear from Barry.
Yeah, because Barry is probably one of the most prolific, I would say, in UK side. He just bangs out content left, right, and centre.
Yeah, and doing that whilst having a full-time job and a family as well is a hard thing to do. So, yeah, kudos to Barry.
It really is. And last one for this week is from Russ. So this is Russ Arnold, long-time follower of our YouTube channels and stuff and supporter. Hi, gents. I've been listening to the podcast whilst in Wales on holiday. I was able to escape with the podcast and a pint in the sun. Returning to work, I need an office fragrance to add to my collection. I need it to stand out but be liked. Seal the deal for me, please. Cheers, Russ. Ooh, again, this is like easy question, difficult answer. And I'm quite sure Russ has got a notable collection as well. So for us to come up with something that he's probably not necessarily aware of is going to be not always that easy. So an office frag to add to his collection. He wants it to stand out but also be liked.
Office for men?
Yeah. That's... Hit it on the nose there, mate. But yeah, fair play.
Yeah. Oh, what about one of the F1 ones that we did last week? I would say a few of those could work, actually.
Probably about four fifths
three?
Probably worked.
Yeah.
When we're talking about that, we've got a little sort of apology correction to make potentially on that, haven't we?
A little bit.
So just a little thing, but we said that the very expensive bottles were the same fragrance but just a posher bottle, and we've been sort of corrected in our Facebook group to say that the very expensive bottles are actually the EDP version, and where the sort of cheaper £60 bottles are EDT. The person that actually originally put us onto these fragrances said that they are kind of a different formulation, so it's not just a concentration thing. He said they actually smell different and it's more like a niche fragrance, a niche version, but obviously we've not smelt them, so we can't comment, but just a little
but
correction
still,
there.
To go from EDT to EDP with a difference of between £60 and what were they, 195 were they?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, I think I'd probably just stick with the EDT for that price difference, if I'm honest, even though I've not smelt the EDPs yet.
Yeah, they would have to be significantly different, I think,
and better.
Really.
Yeah,
a lot better. They did say in the Facebook group that you can smell the quality difference, but and they do smell more like niche, but we can't comment. But thank you for the correction.
Yeah.
Another correction, I think. Actually, I got we're full of corrections. A few weeks ago, I mentioned that Royal Equestrian from Alexandra, there was a new extrait de parfum version, and I got corrected to say, no, they've always been extraits. You're an idiot. So apologies for that. I thought that was not the case. But yeah, so the version I've got, as I say, it does perform differently, but that's probably for another show. But yeah, it I don't know if it's a batch thing or the sprayer's not putting out as much, but it doesn't seem as strong. But there we go.
Well, there you go. Actually, Steve, there's one more coffee that actually came through to me this week. So
I
can finish off the section with that, unless you've got anything else.
Just to answer Russ's question, so back to that, he said
office
fragrance to his collection that could stand out. I mean, I'm a big fan of the EDP version of Guerlain. I've gone blank. What's the actual frag?
L'Homme Ideal.
Ideal, that's the word I was looking for. Could not think. I could picture the bottle, I could see all the words around it, but it was the Ideal I could not see. So yeah, Ideal, the EDP version, L'Homme Ideal EDP, I'm a big fan of, because I think that is safe enough that everybody's going to like it. But it, I think with that cherry and leather, I think that's really sort of noticeable. Yeah. I think that's really sort of different.
So yeah,
I
even
really
the cologne.
Like
Even the cologne would work from that line as well.
That's a good shout.
Yeah.
And also any of the Armani codes, really. But I sort of, in the, my video review of Code Absolute, I actually said that I think it's, it could work well in an office. Where as much as I love Code Profumo, I find that that's almost a bit too much sometimes for an office, because it's quite it's quite a bit of a clubbing fragrance. Well, I found the Absolute is just a little bit more sophisticated and a little bit more kind of not as full-on, so I think that again will get you noticed in an office in the right way. I personally, those are my two favorite.
So I'd add to those great suggestions, Steve. I'd add maybe GOF Trumpus Sandalwood is a beautiful fragrance. It's not really a freshie, but I think it's still safe for an office if you want something just maybe a little richer and a little deeper. And then pretty much all of the Acqua di Parma line. You're not going to go far wrong with to be office safe. Some of them are a little darker, like the leather one, but you know, even that, I think, you know, why not? You could still wear that in an office as long as you don't overspray it. But certainly a lot of the Colonia line, the Colonia variations like the Original and Intensa and Pura Essenza, all of those, great for the office.
I mean, we should have sort of fueled future content. We should have probably just given Russ something that's like gonna get like stink out the office, so then in a couple of weeks we've got a fragrance fail story for the end of the podcast, haven't we?
We need to start setting up our fragrance fails with these suggestions. It would give really bad suggestions and then we get loads of fragrance fail stories. I love it.
Yeah, they're sort of just fueling our own content there. A bit sneaky, but yeah, thanks Russ. Thanks for that, mate. You're a big supporter, so thank you, you legend. Do you want to shout out the our last one as well?
Yes. So the last one actually came to me through my personal Ko-fi, which is on my YouTube video descriptions, but it was meant for both of us. So I was honest and I shared it out between between Steve and I.
You didn't drink my coffee.
Yeah, I didn't drink it. So this is from Paul, who has a YouTube channel called PJ Fragrances. I almost met him once. He says... Morning.
That was almost a story, mate.
Well, I'll just leave it there. It's more interesting, isn't it? Because how do you almost meet someone? Well, there you go. Morning, Chris and Steve. Firstly, just wanted to say I'm loving the podcast, so keep up the good work. I've got some feedback on a frag I tried in an airport just this morning. It's a new one from Paco Rabanne called Phantom. This is the robot one, isn't it? On first spray, it smells decent, rather unique, but then I found quickly that it dries down to smell a bit like chicken stock. Okay.
Oh dear.
That's a bit of a, that's not the best dry down, is it, that chicken stock?
Carry on. If there's more, yeah, carry on.
Yeah, there's more. I know it's totally random, but it's just what I got. In other news, I managed to bag myself a limited edition Issey Miyake called Shades of Colam, or Colam. It's absolutely stunning, super fresh and summery, and dries into just something smooth and cool. Gutted I haven't had time to record more content from my channel, but the huge project with work that's prevented it is coming to an end. So I'll be back posting reviews very soon, hopefully. All the best, lads. Paul. P.S. I've been up since 4 a.m. to catch this flight, so if my grammar is off, apologies. I can say that his grammar is perfect. He did not drop any grammar at all in that Ko-fi message. So, Paul, well done, and I hope your flight was... okay, and your work went well. Thank you for the Ko-fi.
Oh, legend. Thank you for that, mate. Really appreciate it. Have you got your nose on this new one from Paco Rabanne yet?
Nope.
There's been lots of posts in the different fragrance community Facebook posts, like Facebook groups, and I'm yet to read. I've seen a couple of people that said it was all right. It's quite pleasant, like in the opening, but pretty much anybody that's mildly fragrance snobbish have just said it's utter trash. It's really getting a lot of hate. I'm curious to try it. Obviously, I'm a bit of a basic bitch, so I might like it. But yeah, I can't really give much more feedback on that, because not many people are actually saying much other than it's shit. I'd like them to kind of break it down a little bit more and sort of say why it's shit, but they're just saying that it's just, yeah. And
yeah, I think I heard it was a sweet, apple-y type of fragrance.
Okay. Yeah. And it's one of those ones as well that I think there's been a few perfumers involved, so they're like, oh, it's a shame you know, they couldn't, between them, couldn't come up with something good. But sometimes it might be like a camel as a horse designed by a committee. If you get too many kind of people inputting, it might kind of almost pull it in too many different directions. So
many cooks.
So there we go. So what have you been wearing, Christopher?
Well, I've not got a long list of what I've been wearing, but I'll let you know what I have been, because I've been testing a lot of things as well. So I've been wearing I wore Atlante from Sarah Baker Perfumes, beautiful fruity, salty marine aquatic scent. Love that one. I did a voiceover the other day, and I threw on some Stronger With You Absolutely, which I enjoyed. I was doing a bit of wrestling with the kids today, and for some reason, as part of the wrestling, just because the fragrances are there on the shelf, they decided to spray them on me. So I was layering today, La Mal, the original, La Mal Eau Fraiche, and Le Beau. So I had a nice little La Mal combo going on. And then finally, a new one. I bought a new one the other day. It's the new Ombre Leather Parfum. So the original Ombre Leather is an EDP, and they have released the Parfum. So I've given that a few days wearing and filmed a little bit of content on it as well.
I saw your post on Instagram with that, and you basically just said, I like. I was like, okay, I look forward to
it
more. Because I know you're a big, big fan, really, of the original Ombre Leather. So I thought, oh, that'd be good to see a review on that and how it breaks down. Do you prefer it to the original, or is it just different?
I'd say I like them both equally, actually. It's a little bit different. Yeah, it's a little more, leans perhaps a little older and a little more formal. It's a bit more refined and classy, I would say. But it's not a richer, stronger type of smell, which you would think it might be with the name Parfum. They've not gone that route with it. It's got great longevity. It must be, it's obviously a higher concentration, because longevity on the skin was fantastic. But in terms of performance and projection, pretty similar to the original. But it's not as sweet, a little classier, I would say. But yeah, really enjoy it.
Sounds good. I wouldn't mind trying that, actually. It's a similar sort of note profile, is it? But just basically just slightly different then.
It's similar. So it's got that same sort of fruity, leathery thing that's going on in Ombre Leather. You know, similar to Tuscan leather, but more, you know, smoother, more wearable. But it's a little drier, a little greener. So it's okay. It's nice. Yeah.
Okay, sounds good.
How about you? What have you been wearing?
I've actually tried a few new frags this week. So I'll tell you those in a minute. A few of the sort of more run of the mill ones today. I wore Le Nuit de l'Homme, the EDP version. Yesterday I went to the cinema to see Black Widow with my mate, and I wore Wanted by Night. Not worn that for ages, and I really enjoyed it. I love it when you kind of wear a fragrance. I know we go on about this fragrance quite a lot. It gets a lot of mention on this podcast, but I've not worn it in ages, and it was one of those ones where I sort of kept getting whiffs of myself, and I kept sort of thinking, God damn, I smell really good. I mean, other people sitting around me might not have had that same opinion, but you know, when you're just like, oh, it just gives you a nice little buzz, a little kick. I was like, I'm smelling really good. So much so, I nearly wore it again today, and I thought, no, I won't wear the same. And that's why I actually went for Le Nuit de l'Homme, the EDP, because some people compare it. I think there's some similarities. So I thought, I'll wear something similar, but go, you know, slightly different. So that's what I did.
Actually, I think, just to chip in there, I think cinema going is a great way to sort of test a fragrance, because you smell it more. I always smell my fragrance more when I'm sitting in the cinema, because you're not moving around. It's not wafting off your skin, and you're not losing any to the cierge, are you? It's just this scent bubble is just literally hanging around you. So I think you do smell your own fragrance better when you just sat in the cinema. So yeah, that's a good, make sure you wear your favorite fragrances for the cinema, because that's when you're going to smell them most.
Okay, and you'll also see if anybody sort of moves away from you. That's probably another good test, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've had a busy week in hindsight, because I went snowboarding earlier in the week, and for that day, it was quite clever. I did it off the day, off the back of visiting some customers in the area. So I was visiting loads of customers. So I just wore my favourite fragrance. I wore Leighton. And then I sort of topped up in the evening with some Royal Equestrian. So I didn't want to put Leighton in my bag. So I just topped it up when I hit the slopes. So I wore that. The other day I wore Boss the Scent Absolu, which again, really enjoy. I think I did go a bit too heavy on the trigger, though, I must admit. It was like, it started off and I was like, oh, I'm really enjoying this. And then it performed really well. It like hung around, and I must admit, a few hours in, I was like, it's getting a little bit like, oh, I'm getting a I'm a little bit nauseous now. I think I've got a bit too heavy. It's not dying down much. It's kind of still there. So that's my fault. Some new ones that I've worn. So I've tried a couple of Aaron Terrence Hughes's more safer kind of mass appealing fragrances.
Yeah, so I tried your review on those actually.
Yeah, sort of first impressions video I dropped on my channel. So I did Odyssey and Neon. Both very nice fragrances, and they're certainly more in my price bracket typically as well. I think I know Neon's about 80 quid for 50 mil, so quite well sort of reasonably priced. I think Odyssey you can get actually, I think that you can get it for free, somebody commented, if you buy another 50 mil bottle. I think I don't know how much you get free, but so Neon I really enjoyed, particularly the opening. It just very much reminds me of sort of Bulgari Legem Tiger, Black Panther. It's got that real ambroxan grapefruit thing going on, and the grapefruit's really sort of juicy, sort of fresh yet sort of juicy sweet with it as well. It's kind of sort of just smells really natural. Really like that one.
Yeah, it's good. Neon, yeah.
Yeah, Odyssey I think is similarly safe, but I didn't enjoy it as much. It's interesting that one. I was paying more attention because I didn't enjoy it as much, and that developed a lot more actually. So after the video, I kind of obviously it was on my skin, and so as it dried down, it started reminding me of Prada's Carbon, so Luna Rossa Carbon.
Oh, yeah.
It started kind of reminding me a little bit of that, not like a copy, but sort of just similar vibes. I started getting that sort of feel from it. But in the opening, it was again very nice, fresh, and I was getting an almost like a herbally, fresh, minty thing going on. I don't know if that was possibly the patchouli. I know patchouli is in the mint family, it's not really got a mint fragrance and sort of accord to it as such, but I don't know. I kind of got just this subtlest hint of that. So it might have been that. I don't know. But yeah, but it did sort of develop quite a bit in the dry down. But yeah, I preferred Neon out of the two anyway. And I've also tried a couple, talking of Prada Luna Rossa, I tried, even though I'm a big fan of Carbon, I've not tried many of the others from the line. So this week I tried a couple that Russ sent me. So I've got, I tried Prada Luna Rossa, the original, and Prada Luna Rossa Sport. Have you tried those, Chris?
No. I've tried Carbon and I've got the discontinued Extreme, but I don't think I can remember. If I have smelled them, I can't remember. So the original and the Sport, yeah. No, what are they like?
Well, it's interesting because and I'm not the only one that seems to think this, but I think Prada Luna Rossa is more sporty than Prada Luna Rossa Sport. It's a bit of a funny one. Like, yeah. Prada Luna Rossa is this very nice, clean, fresh. It's almost like it reminds me of, it's not a Fougere, but it's almost like a Fougere for me. It's kind of that fresh, clean, sort of quite gentlemanly, I'd say, but not necessarily mature. It's kind of just this really nice, really enjoyed it. It's got like this sort of slightly fruity open. I think there's like an orange mandarin in there, that which obviously I really enjoy. So it's just got this really nice sort of opening. It's very fresh and clean. And I'd say it's almost kind of sporty, dare I say.
Like a modern Fougère.
Yeah, I guess so. It kind of reminded me of... there's another frag. I'll think of it in a minute. But Luna Rossa Sport... is actually really reminds me of, it doesn't look like I'm the only one, but basically Jean-Paul Gaultier Le Male. They've basically added like vanilla and tonka to it, so it's got some of the Luna Rossa DNA, but they've sweetened it. It's got this real sort of sweeter base to it, which again doesn't normally go hand in hand with a sport fragrance. And it did sort of remind me. It took me a while to realise it. It was kind of Le Male. But when I smelt it, it reminded me of a fragrance that basically it reminded me of my brother, like in the sort of 90s, 2000s sort of thing, because I think he used to rock Le Male. And then it sort of clicked with me. I was like, yes. I mean, again, it's not like carbon copy, but it's very sort of similar vibe, so it might be worth you trying it actually.
I'll have to see
because it seems to perform quite well, and I saw one comment afterwards when I was kind of looking it up. Someone was saying that basically it is like the Malbert, like a better performing version sort of thing. So it might be worth a kind of look. So yeah, really enjoyed those. So they were interesting, interesting and new tries for me, even though they've been around quite a while. So
great, yeah, good info.
And there we go. Right, how are we doing for time?
I think we're pushing about half an hour, so doing well.
So, yeah, we are doing well. Shall we move on? Because we're going to try and keep this a bit of a shorter episode. Everybody got a really long episode last week, and we're going to try and record two. So if there's anything, I've not forgotten anything. We've got winners to announce as well, haven't we? Should we do that first before we do the happy ending?
Yeah, you want to finish on the happy ending? Sure, let's do that.
Yeah, let's finish on the happy ending. So do you want to announce the winners?
Yeah, so these are the winners for the Kajal competition. That was this fantastic one where one winner will get the chance to stay in a five-star this amazing five-star hotel in Florence in Italy and get tickets to go to the Pitti fragrance exhibition. So you got to get yourself there, you know, wherever you are, you got to fly to Italy. But for most people in Europe, hopefully it's not too expensive to fly to Italy. So the winner of this amazing competition, this is the Instagram handle. It's at Emil Petria. So I'll spell that. So it's EmilPetria. So if you are listening to this, then congratulations. If you've somehow entered the competition and you're not the St. Geeks podcast, if you're not a St. Geeks podcast listener, then we need to have words, first of all. And I think we need to have it piped in non-stop 24/7 into your hotel room in Florence when you stay. So we will notify you. I think Kajal will notify you as well, but we'll make sure that we tag you on an Instagram post so that you know that you are the winner. So well done, Emil Petria. What a fantastic prize to win. Lovely.
That's an amazing prize. I'm so jealous of that. It's going to be so cool. So hopefully you can, as I say, sort of get there without any too many issues caused by COVID, etc., because that would be an amazing, amazing prize. Right, shall we do our sort of happy ending?
Yes, let's finish with our happy ending, Steve. Is it actually a happy ending, or is it a sad ending, or a fail ending?
It's a lovely little, it's a really nice touching story. So it is like a kind of scent memory based a story. So it's a lovely little scent story that kind of
hit me.
For me, this story is, it sort of, it just emphasizes how powerful fragrance can be, and we've obviously spoken about scent memories in the past, so it kind of links to that. Now this wasn't actually submitted to the podcast. I stumbled across this. Somebody shared this story within a Facebook group, and I read this and it really kind of resonated with me, and I thought it was lovely. I'd love to feature this on the podcast because this fits perfectly with our little happy endings. So I actually replied to the post, and I sort of made a comment and said, would I be able to kind of read this out on the podcast? I can keep you anonymous if you'd rather, or just not at all. You know, obviously I'd rather do it with your permission. And they replied and said, yep, fine, go for it, read it out on the podcast, and feel free to, you know, please name me as well. So this story has come from Janice Spencer. So Janice Spencer shared this in, I think it was the Fragheads UK Facebook group, I think is where I saw it. And she shared this story, and I messaged her or kind of commented, and she gave me permission to use it and to shout her out as well. And she'd never heard the podcast before, so she might be listed now for the first time. So hopefully this won't be your first episode and you're not like, oh, I've had to wait for 30 minutes to hear my story, for fuck's sakes, this is painful. So thank you, Janice, and here it is. So here's a little story which just really kind of touches me. So just this is literally what she put as a post. Just a little fragrance-related family story that I was thinking about today and thought I would share with you. We weren't really that much into perfume as a family when I was growing up. My grandma wore 4711. We've discussed, I still don't know how to pronounce that, but that's what I'm going with. So my grandma wore 4711, which I thought was heavenly, and she used to let me have a little rub of the rollerball of it in hot weather, a real treat. My mother was strictly a one scent woman. I'm not familiar with this scent, so I might butcher the pronunciation here, but I'll give it a go. It's Je Reviens by Worth. So that was the only fragrance her mother wore. My dad bought her a tiny bottle of the hugely expensive parfum for Christmas when they were courting. And I love that phrase as well. Courting, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how old Janice is, but it might be an indication of her age there, because that term is traditional. So anyway, he bought a tiny little bottle of this really expensive parfum version for Christmas when they were courting. And she secretly thought he was stingy because he didn't buy her a normal size bottle. She'd never had a parfum before, so she didn't realise, you know, it was really concentrated, really expensive. But anyway, fast forward a few decades and it's the early 80s. This time it's my turn to buy a Christmas present for my dad. I don't have a clue what to get him. I end up in Boots sniffing all the fragrances and none of them there as nice as the one called Kuros. Now, Kuros is by Yves Saint Laurent, I believe, in the white bottle. It's had a few different formulations, but still pretty much people love the current one as much as they did the original. Mm-hmm. And none of them are as nice as the one called Kuros. I've never heard of it before. I don't know if it's a new scent or an old one, and I certainly don't know anything about men's fragrance, but this one smells damn good. And I decide there and then that this is what my dad is getting for Christmas this year. And he loves it. For once, I've made the right choice about what to buy him. Every time he gets dressed up to go out, you can smell the Kuros in the bathroom. He gets loads of compliments. The ladies all love it. Whenever my frisky aunties come round, they are like, "Oh, you smell good, Roy." And he laps it up. Who doesn't love a compliment? Wow. When the original bottle runs out, he replaces it straight away. From then on, Kuros becomes his signature scent. And then, fast forward a few decades more, my dad had succumbed to a chest infection and pneumonia only a few months previously, and we were all still missing him. So sorry to hear that, Janice. Hopefully all the family dealt with that. It's like really sad, but there is a nice little kind of end into this. So fast forward a few decades more, my dad had succumbed to a chest infection and pneumonia only a few months previously, and we were all still missing him. My son was in his first year at secondary school, and one day he came home with a story to tell me. He described how a new supply teacher had leaned over his desk in the classroom to show him how to work out a maths formula. And he smelt just like granddad, he said. It was so weird. It was almost like he was back again, just for a second. I felt happy but sad all at the same time. And I understood exactly what he meant, because at that moment, I felt happy but sad all at the same time too. I was just mulling all this over today for no good reason, as you do sometimes. I realised it was a perfume story of sorts, so thought I would share it on here. And then she sort of kind of finished her post by saying, which fragrances were around when you were growing up? Do any of them still bring back happy memories for you as they do for me? Hmm. So there we go.
Oh, wow. I'm sort of tearing up a little bit here.
Yeah, I saw my voice was cracking a little bit, to be honest.
Yeah. Wow, that's... I mean, that's powerful, isn't it? That's powerful stuff, really.
I've probably sort of picked up how happy it is as such, but it was just that, for me, that just shows the power of fragrance. And we've obviously spoken about scent memories and how powerful they can be. And scent is so, like, so... Someone described it as really powerful yet inaccurate, because sometimes you just know a scent straight away and you're like, I think I was in like France when I smelt that, and you can't quite place it. But sometimes it can be really powerful and it puts you there. And just, I think that summed it up when he said, I felt happy and sad all at the same time. And it's just, so I think, again, I don't want to labour the point, but to sort of emphasise how important fragrance can be, it's like one of those things when you sort of reach for your fragrance in the morning, you don't know what scent memory that could start that day. You might bump into the love of your life that day, and that could be the first smell that they know of you. You might, something sad might happen, you might lose someone and that fragrance, or it might be, you know, a really happy event might happen where you pass an exam or something, or you know, you share a moment with someone and they remember that scent and that they associate that moment with you. So sometimes we get a bit blasé, especially when we've all got like our, you know, 200 bottles of fragrance in our collection. But sometimes it could be quite an important decision, really. You don't realise. So.
My favourite part of that was when he said that Grandad was back there just for a second, and I thought, wow, that to have someone who's been gone for a while, that you miss dearly, to even for just a second to have that feeling that they're there, because the last time you were with them, that they probably had that smell around them, or that's what you associate with them, and photos and remembered things don't have the same impact as actually experiencing something that is physically there, and it's the scent that they used to wear. So even to have someone who's been gone for a while back for just a second is amazing. So what an amazing story. That was brilliant. Yeah, nice one. Thanks, Janice. And I hope you're listening, because thank you. I know you didn't share that specifically to the podcast, but I think it's really important to share those kinds of stories, because there's so much about compliments and smelling good and
panty droppers. And
yeah.
Mind you, it sounds like Roy did quite well with the old with the compliments, to be fair to him. It
sounds like Roy was smelling like a boss, to be honest, with his girls. Yeah.
So there Lovely. We go. I wonder how many people are now going to go and try that fragrance. I think I've smelt it before, but I don't think I've ever owned it or anything. So yeah, we need to get on it. Yeah, so there we go. Thank you, Janice. That was amazing. If anybody's got any sort of similar stories like that, do please send them in. We'd love to kind of share them. It could be, as I say, we really enjoy the fragrance fails, but we also enjoy those kind of endearing scent memories, scent moments type situation as well. So do send those in, please.
Yes. Thank you.
Right. I think that's it, mate, isn't it?
I think that's it, yeah. I'll just sort of say my goodbyes and let everybody know how to enter the Kajal giveaway. So as well as giving away the Florence trip, every month Kajal give away a full bottle of one of their fragrances and a discovery kit to our listeners. All you have to do to be in with a chance to win one of those two prizes is go to Kajal's Instagram, find the post that has the Scent Geeks written on it, share that around, tag Kajal in it, and you are in with a chance to win a great prize. So with that said, I'll just say thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be here next week. Have a week, geeks.
Bye. Yeah.